Chapter 2. The police arrived in a blaze of sirens and blue lights a short time later. Lexi's husband, Jack Perillo, and Cassie's husband, John Darling, included. They were both homicide detectives in Brook Ridge Falls. That was about where the similarities between them ended, though. Jack was ruggedly handsome with tan skin, honey brown eyes, and dark, close-cropped hair. John was taller and rangier, with longish blonde hair and pale blue eyes. He was handsome too, but in a different way from Jack. In addition to being partners, the two were also the best of friends.
"Are you okay?"
Jack's brown eyes were soft with concern that melted Lexi's heart as he took her aside for questioning. "I'm fine. I mean, I've found bodies before." Lexi was no stranger to discovering a dead body. Of course, it was always a shock, but still not nearly as upsetting as the first time.
"Okay, then stay put. I have some things to take care of, then I'll need to ask you some questions."
Cassie and Lexi stood off to the side and watched as the police went about their business. They'd asked everyone to remain until they could get names and numbers. One officer was going through the guests, doing just that. Nance, Ida, Ruth, and Helen were seated at their table, talking in hushed whispers, their eagle eyes watching everything. After about 20 minutes, Jack came back and got them. He led Lexi and Cassie back to the pie room, and they went over every detail of how they'd discovered the body. The medical examiner had taken the body, but there was a spot on the floor where Mary Archer had fallen, now outlined with tape. The messy blueberry filling had crusted on the white linen tablecloth and the carpet. That would leave a stain, Lexi was sure. She and Cassie reenacted exactly how they'd discovered the body and answered Jack's questions. Then, after a supportive squeeze of her upper arm, Jack left to talk to more people. Nance, Ruth, Ida, and Helen had been hovering in the doorway. They made a beeline to Lexi and Cassie as soon as they were free from the police. Not a surprise, Lexi knew that Nance and the ladies would be conducting their own investigation. The police were still photographing and putting down little yellow crime scene markers, so Nance pulled them back into the main dining area and sat them at a table before starting her interrogation. "What happened after you discovered Mary's body?" Nance asked, her green eyes dancing with excitement.
"We secured the area, called the police, then announced the pie-eating contest was canceled, obviously."
Lexi swallowed hard to cover the tremble in her body.
"Why?"
"Did you see any clues?" Ida asked.
"No."
Lexi exhaled, doing her best to remember exactly what she'd seen. She knew from experience that it was futile to discourage them. Nance and the ladies were going to investigate, no matter what. And while this had caused some problems between Jack and her in the past, she kind of got the feeling now that he was on board with her helping Nance investigate, as long as she didn't put herself in danger.
"Just poor Mary Archer, with her face stuck in a pie."
"Well, how did she die?" Helen asked. "Shot? Stabbed?"
"Maybe it was a heart attack," Ida suggested.
"She could have been clubbed,"
Cassie spoke up, earning raised brows from Nance and the ladies. Cassie didn't usually help with the investigations, but judging by the eager look on her face, Lexi knew she was not averse to pitching in.
"Why do you say that, dear?" Nance asked.
"That big old trophy was lying beside her,"
Cassie said.
"Oh, that thing was heavy. It would make a great murder weapon,"
Ida said.
"Let's not jump to conclusions. She could have just been placing it in the room in preparation for the contest."
Nance had already taken her iPad from her gigantic purse and was typing notes. Ida leaned sideways in her chair to scowl down the hallway outside the entrance. Several officers tromped by with pies in their hands, apparently confiscating them for evidence.
Do they have to take them all? What a waste of good pie. Who cares about pie when we've got a murder to investigate?
Nan said, all but rubbing her hands together with glee.
I wonder who could have killed Mary.
Not sure. Ruth's dark eyes glinted with excitement. There were a lot of people at the party. Anyone could have slipped in there without being noticed. Helen hung back a bit, unusually quiet, not commenting at all, as she still clutched that purse of hers to her chest. It was a nice bag, but nothing to be so possessive about.
Let's think back, Nan said, putting her dogged logic to work. Who was doing what right before Lexi came down the hallway and discovered the body?
Well, I was finishing clearing the tables of dirty dishes. Lexi frowned, unable to stop herself from participating. She was sure Jack wouldn't mind because the murder had taken place in the community center, practically the ladies' backyard. She went on with what she knew, telling them the same thing she'd already told the police. Jack wouldn't mind that, would he? It was mostly public knowledge. I remember checking the clock because I wanted to make sure the pie room was ready for the contest. It was 7:15. That was maybe 5 minutes before we found Mary, because I had to detour to the buffet table to light the burners under the scalloped potatoes. Nan's typed all this in, as the ladies chattered amongst themselves, but Helen still remained silent. What was wrong with her? Maybe she was upset about Mary's death. Had she known Mary well? Lexi had never heard her mention being close to the Archers, but then she didn't really know all of the ladies' friends. Still, she did look awfully pale. She'd barely touched her food at the table, even the things without carbs. Could it be her new low-carb diet wasn't agreeing with her? If I've learned anything in my years of sleuthing, the spouse is normally suspect numero uno. Nan's glanced over her shoulder toward where Howard Archer was now being questioned by the police. The poor man looked upset, perhaps too upset. He looked to be in his mid-70s, had neatly trimmed dark gray hair and a mustache, and wore glasses. His brown outfit made him look about as threatening as a church mouse. He didn't really look like a cold-blooded killer. But then, most murderers didn't. Ida shrugged.
Mary was good friends with Sylvia Hensel, wasn't she? Maybe we should ask her about it. Bet she could shed some light on their marital situation.
Ladies, Jack said, coming back over to the group after finishing up with Howard. He caught Lexi's eye and gave her a small smile and wink before resuming his usual stoic work face. He must have known what they were talking about. Did this mean he approved?
I'd like to ask you all a few questions, if you don't mind.
What? Nan's nudged Jack in the side with her elbow. She and Jack got on like gangbusters when she wasn't sticking her nose into his cases.
No dire warnings today about staying out of police business, she joked.
That still applies, Mona,
Jack said, flipping open his notepad and giving her a stern look, which didn't fool anyone, least of all Nan's.
But I do have questions I'm hoping you ladies can help with. Do any of you know who might want Mary Archer dead?
No, Ruth said, her tone too eager.
But we can find out. Jack shook his head, his lips tightening slightly.
I don't want any of you to put yourselves in danger. Understand? Murder is serious business.
He looked up again and met Lexi's eyes briefly, before looking back at Nan's.
But this time, I'll make a slight exception. I'm hoping that because this happened right here in your retirement center, You ladies might have access to information and sources that I don't. People tend to clam up when the police ask the questions. So, if you do happen to hear anything, I'd appreciate knowing. Not that I'm asking you to go out of your way to find out, but if information becomes available within the normal course of conversation, I'd love to know.
Right. Nans gave him a conspiratorial grin. Normal course.
Lexi couldn't help thinking about how the close relationship Jack shared with Nans and her friends had changed over the years. Jack had started out as Nans's neighbor. The two had developed a friendship despite the difference in age, and Nans had spent quite a bit of effort trying to fix Lexi up with him. Lexi had resisted, but eventually Nans had sold her house to Lexi, making Lexi and Jack become neighbors. Of course, the romance didn't start until Lexi ended up as Jack's number one suspect in a murder. But that was all in the past.
What about me? Lexi asked, nudging him with her shoulder. Do I have permission to snoop too?
As long as you stay safe, honey,
he said, and dropped a quick kiss on her cheek.
And boy, wasn't that a far cry from the last case he'd wrapped up a few months earlier? She'd almost promised never to investigate again.
Good thing that hadn't happened.
Lexi enjoyed investigating almost as much as baking. Besides, her grandmother wasn't going to stop, and someone had to make sure Nans didn't put herself in danger.
Jack finished questioning them while John talked to Cassie. By then, the uniformed officers had finished with the crime scene and were sending everyone home. Jack excused himself, and John hugged Cassie before both men headed back to the station. Nans was still excited.
Get your rest tonight, ladies. We can start our investigation fresh, first thing in the morning.
Everyone nodded at Nans, except Ida, whose eyes were glued to the officers carrying out the last of the pies.
We'd better hurry. The sooner we find out who the killer is, the sooner the police will release those pies.